thankful that Pastor gave me this time to speak, and I'm thankful that God, by His grace and mercy, has allowed me to stand here tonight. And as Brother Rabideau said earlier today, it was a great reminder that there's nothing good about me except for what the Lord has done in my life, and I'm thankful for that. Tonight I would like to start by paying tribute and giving some honor to my dear friend, Dr. Harold Davidson. He was a dear friend and a mentor. Some of you may have met him. He preached here back in, I believe it was 2012. He and Edith came to up to Vermont to visit, and at the time they were living most of the year in Connecticut. And they came up for a couple days and ended up getting snowed in, and didn't feel like it was safe to leave to go home. So I guess Pastor figured at that point it was safe to ask him if he would preach a message. So he did, and it was a great message, as is customary with him. Just as a brief introduction, Harold and I met while I was attending Emmanuel Independent Baptist Church in Newington, Connecticut. We were classmates for a while at the theological seminary there, and we studied together off and on over a period of about 4 years, and we found that we shared many of the same interests. Of course, the love for the Lord and the desire to study His Word. He was a rancher, and I had grown up with horses and enjoyed that type of thing. We both were involved in running construction equipment and working in road work and whatnot. And of course, we both liked tractors. Just to name a few things, but our friendship grew quickly, and having traveled to Israel on two different occasions, he was a tremendous asset in the classroom. He could add a whole new dimension to what the scripture said because he had been there. He had walked around where the walls of Jericho were, so he understood what it took for these men to do that and to return to the camp every night. It was really very interesting. Upon receiving his honorary doctorate, it was time for he and Edith to return to Cody to start Bible Baptist Church of Cody in his home. Harold and I drove for 3 days for a total of 2,250 miles. And it was a tremendous time of gleaning wisdom from this man. While we were driving, my wife and Edith flew to Cody, and they got the house opened up and prepared for us to get there with a little trailer with some furniture that they had brought back from Connecticut. That would be the first of many trips to Cody. We stayed in their house for usually a couple weeks at a time, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship. We spent a lot of time traveling around the countryside there and Yellowstone and whatnot. And having grown up there as a young man, as a rancher, back in those days, there weren't a lot of paved roads. And we had the opportunity to see a lot of these old trails off the side of the roads that we were traveling on. And he would tell us stories about how they moved the cattle, 60 miles from the one range to another. It was very interesting. They were certainly a couple to glean wisdom from. I just want to read one brief little thing from his. I brought a this little pamphlet from his funeral, and I put it up here so if anybody wanted to refresh their memory what they look like or whatever, they could. I just want to read just a brief thing on the back here, just to give you a little bit more history about Pastor Davidson. Pastor Harold Davidson, 91, of Cody, passed away at Spirit Mountain Hospice House on August 13, 2019. He was born in Bowling Green, Ohio, in 1927. He served in the Navy during the end of World War II and moved to the Cody area to begin ranching in 1950. Shortly after he moved there, he met his wife, Winifred, and he married her, and she couldn't have children, but they adopted two children. A few years later, she developed cancer and passed away. So Harold was in a situation where he had basically a 9 and 11-year-old and no wife to help him raise them. And, of course, he had to work full-time and whatnot. So he ended up meeting Edith Nelson from Wisconsin. And they've been, as of his passing, they have been married for 42 years. Lovely thing. But Harold's greatest joy was the Word of God. And Vicki, well, we can surely attest to that. He was constantly looking for chances to teach and share with others the truths that God had showed him in the Bible. And then it goes on to say he was preceded in death by others. But anyway, he was quite a gentleman and taught us a lot. We were blessed to know him. Several weeks ago, we received word that Harold had fallen and had been hospitalized, and of course, we were very concerned. Thankfully, he returned home to convalesce. We immediately booked flights to visit in October, and that's when we'll be leaving on October 1st to be with Edith. Weeks later, we received another more alarming call, and this time he had been rushed to the ICU, and the doctors said that the next 24 to 48 hours would be critical. It turns out if he hadn't gone into the hospital that day, he would have never made it another day. But they got him on some medication, and he lived for a bit longer. The next morning, after that phone call, I called Alan Peterson, one of Harold's dear friends, and he was a stalwart in the church. I mean, he was a pillar in Bible Baptist Church of Cody. And they were, he and his wife were good friends with Harold and Edith, and they really helped them out a lot as they were aging. I called Alan to try to get some update on Harold, and to my surprise, he was sitting next to him in the hospital talking with him. And I had the chance to talk with Harold at that point, and I was really relieved. I was so happy to talk to him. By this time, Vicki had gotten me a ticket to go out the following day. So I was thankful that I was able to get out there so quickly. I got out there Saturday afternoon and went right to the hospital, and he seemed really good considering what we were considering about his health at that time. I was thrilled that I was able to get out there and whatnot. A little bit later on that afternoon, I packed my clothes and what, this, that, and the other thing, and the phone rang again, and it was Alan. And he asked if I would consider bringing a message over the week on Sunday, as Harold would be in the hospital and whatnot. So, of course, I consented. And, you know, Satan began his attack immediately. I thought to myself, how would I bring a message that would inspire the congregants in this small but mature home church that had sat underneath Harold's preaching for several years now? I was humbled to be standing in the pulpit of a man who I admired and loved so. And it made me think of how Harold might have felt when he traveled to Israel. On one of his trips to Israel, he was asked to preach in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I can imagine he must have felt maybe similarly. I couldn't help but think of last November when some of us went to the couples retreat in Southington, and Brother Dan Souza was asked to preach in somebody else's place at the last minute. And having a great deal of respect for the man that he was replacing that day to speak to the men, he started out with this brief little analogy. A mule had decided to enter the Kentucky Derby, and when the mule was asked if he thought he could win it, he said, "No, but I figure the association could do me good." So, as I pondered the message for that Sunday in Cody and this message tonight, I thought about the association that the Lord has allowed me and my wife to have with people like the Gangers, like the Davidsons, like the Strausses, like the Souzas, and so many others. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries, their wives, their families, church family that have spoken truth into our lives and impacted our lives for the Lord. People who we love dearly, whose testimonies and lives have mirrored their love for the Lord. So tonight, as probably some of you have heard me say before, and I picked it up from Dr. Strauss, God's word is made up of God's words. At this point, I'd like to just open with a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can be in this place, Lord, with like-minded believers. Lord, I pray that you'll have complete reign over my tongue. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just take over, Lord. As we look into your words, Lord, that make up your word, and they are inspired, Lord, and we know that they're all true. Every one of them is important. So we just ask for your hand to be upon us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the word that I would like to consider this evening is the word remnant, and in particularly God's remnant. In Scripture, it's used some 91 times, and it seems like an old term, and actually, it's only used 6 times in the New Testament. So it is something that you might think back to the Old Testament about, and it is used there quite a bit more. I want to read you what the dictionary says. Excuse me. what it gives for a definition. It's kind of interesting. Remnant. A usually small part, member, or trace remaining. A small surviving group, often used in plural. An unsold or unused end of piece goods. It comes from the word remnant, which is an Anglo-French term, and it also means to remain. And when you go to the word remain, it actually brings you to the word mansion. Abide, bide, continue, endure, hold on, hold up, keep up, last, perdure, persist, and run on. I thought that was kind of interesting. And in Scripture, it's used quite a few times in conjunction with remain. They're used together a lot, and we're going to see that as we look into some Scripture here. So, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 26, verse 12, it says, "And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle." So here's an early use of the word remnant, and of course it's talking about fabric in the building of the tabernacle. So we see here that God was concerned and attentive to every remnant of fabric in building the tabernacle. We move on to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants." And here we see that God even used the remnant of the giants to prove the hearts of the people. And of course, we know that Caleb and Joshua were the only two to view these giants through the eyes of the Lord. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, verse 46, "And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." And this was speaking of Jehoshaphat doing right in the eyes of the Lord. Then we move on to the book of Joshua. It was the first class that Harold and I took together at the seminary. Chapter 23, verses 12 and 13. "Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you." And of course, here we're talking about Joshua speaking to the nation of Israel, giving them charge shortly before his death. Steve, would you look up Isaiah 37, verses 31 and 32, please? In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19, verses 30 and 31, we find these words, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." And this was Isaiah speaking to King Hezekiah regarding the king of Assyria. And Steve, would you read what it says in Isaiah 37, please?
And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root down and bear fruit up. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this.
So we find, it's interesting that we find that same language in the book of Kings, and of course in the from Isaiah as well. In Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 9, this is in Isaiah's vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah and Jotham and Ahaz and Uzziah, the kings of Judah. He says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been as Gomorrah." Unless he had left a small remnant, we would have been destroyed. Furthermore, in Isaiah 10, verses 20, 21, and 22, speaking of Israel's dependence on the Lord and not on the king of Assyria, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." And then, Mike, would you look up Ezekiel 6, 8 and 9? And Greg, would you look up Micah chapter 2, verse 12? Joshua, would you look up Romans 9, verse 27, please? You all set, Mike?
"Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some of them that shall escape the sword among the nations. Then ye shall be scattered through the countries, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captive, because I am broken with thou worthless heart, which has departed from me, and with thy eyes, which goeth a whoring after their idols, and they shall move themselves for the evil when they have committed it all in the abominations."
Thank you. Joshua? Oh, no.
Micah 2:12. "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men."
Joshua?
"Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved."
Thank you. In that last reading, ties into Isaiah 10:22. Which says, "For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." So as we can see, these are just a few examples of the inspired word that God has put in our Bible, the word remnant and some of the variations of it. And but let's consider some of God's remnant as we come up through the Bible. Let's turn to Genesis 6. We're going to be looking at verses 5, 8, and 18. And verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In verse 8 it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And in verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Eight people out of all those millions of people that were inhabiting the earth at the time, eight people God chose as a remnant to get on the ark. And that's a small remnant. Of course, then there's Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and David and the Apostle Paul, and the list goes on and on of a faithful remnant. What about Essex Junction, Vermont? What about Pastor and Peg being called here by the Lord to lead a church family here? What about Dr. Strauss starting a church in Cromwell and perpetuating a seminary, training locals and nationals all over the world to get the gospel out? What about Harold Davidson remaining in Cody while his family moved away, being disowned by his father for his faith, living in a town permeated with Mormons, having churches turning away from the truth? Yet he stayed, he remained, he became a remnant there, going back to seminary to further his knowledge of the truth at the age of 77. Not only going back to seminary, but moving back to Connecticut for the school year for 7 years. Donating 130 acres of land bordering Yellowstone. At the time, it was valued at $4 million. He donated that to the seminary to perpetuate truth, to make sure that the truth was going to get out all over the world. Not a version of the truth, but the whole truth. And he felt strongly enough that this was the way to do it. There's a remnant of faithful men and women all over this country, and because of their faithfulness, others will follow. Friends, family members, but some will not. You can look at any number of cities and towns. Many churches have closed or have fallen away, but many have stayed. They've remained a remnant for the Lord. I think of my sister-in-law, Boo, over New Hampshire. She was the first one in her family to get saved. And as a result, many others have gotten saved in her family and outside of her family. I'm sure everyone in this assembly of believers tonight has a story or a life experience that has brought you into God's remnant. Some of your experience may be painful. I'm thankful by God's grace we have chosen to remain. We haven't done it on our own, but by a merciful God who has placed us in a local assembly, a loving church family, a body of believers, sitting under good preaching. As I sat with Harold the last 3 days of his earthly life, he spoke about getting back home to preach the next message. Like Pastor Gangwer, the thought of retirement didn't enter his mind. It made me think of Psalm 92:14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Most pastors that I know have no intention of retiring. This is their calling, and they intend to do it as long as they can. God always has a remnant willing to bring light to a darkened world. I was blessed to have been at Harold's bedside when he took his last breath. I felt very peaceful, knowing that he was with his Savior that he loved so dearly and served for over 62 years of his life. At the Sunday service at Bible Baptist Church of Cody, we were reminded of what David said to the Lord in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And then in Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, verses 10 and 11, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our life is brief. If you were to take your age as of today and subtract it from 80, multiply it by 365, you might realize how short a time we have left to serve the Lord. For me, it's 4,764 days from today. It's not very long, is it? 4,000 days. If you're 18 years old today and serving the Lord, you'll have 22,630 more days to serve Him. Think of all the blessings that you'll have and what you'll be able to lay at the feet of Jesus. We need to get busy about our Father's business. Once a week, every week, Harold wrote an article for a small weekly publication called The Buyer's Guide in Cody. And the name of it is Timeless Truth Today. And he always put in something in there that was really important and truthful. His granddaughter, after his death, decided to take up the chore. Not the chore, but she wanted to put in one last one for her grandfather. And this is what it said. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. For the last 62 years, Harold Davidson has sought to do exactly that, to finish his course well. He had a faith that gave him confidence to the end of his life, that he was ready to see his Savior face to face with no fear. Today, he is with Jesus and wishes that others would choose as he did to live their life, to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful once again that you are a God that hears and answers prayers, Lord. You're a God of second chances, Lord, that you never give up on us. We're so thankful for that, Lord. Help us to love and forgive as you do, Lord. Just thankful for every member of this church, Lord, for our pastor and the truth that he stands on, Lord. Just pray that as we each go our separate ways tonight, Lord, that you'll be with us, keep us safe, Lord, and help us to remember that our time is short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.